Please stand in body or in spirit. A voice came from heaven.
You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased.
This same voice that claims Jesus claims us as God's very own. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, wait, we were supposed to do a Thanksgiving for baptism. I'm in the wrong spot, Brian. Don't worry, I do. My friends are over here, by the way. Don't believe a word they say. Like I said, don't believe a word they say. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for this, the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people, Israel, from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of this water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Christ Jesus. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 29 responsively with me. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly things. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name.
Worship the Lord.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The second reading is from Acts, the 8th chapter. Now when the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As the people were filled with expectation, all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. John answered all of them, saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So I want to start with a joke today. Two Lutherans, Two Lutherans, a Catholic and a Baptist, walk into a church. Hey. Anyway. they're the punchline, by the way. My good friends from high school. Anyway, if you got a chance to meet them before or after the service, like I said, they're terrible liars. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. This heavenly voice, well, it's not for you. It's not for me either, to be fair. The voice that of God the Father here is talking to Jesus. You see, we know it's not for us because there's a blanket statement here, with you I am well pleased. And let's just be honest. How often is this heavenly voice pleased with us? I mean, maybe me. No, just kidding. I could find many, many people to vouch for me in this room right now, even, that I have done many, many things that are not, shall we say, all that pleasing to God. But you won't tell them any of those things, right? Right, guys? Like the time that the guy on this far end over here ran into my car, put a big dent into it, and then we lied to my dad about it. Like, or didn't we throw you in the back of a trunk one time? That was not probably all that pleasing to God. But these are not just my pre-pastor days. I've probably done lots of things unpleasing to God this week, today even, and it's only 10:15. I laugh at jokes that I shouldn't laugh at. I make jokes that I shouldn't say, especially in sermons. I say words that I shouldn't say. I get mad and I yell and I throw fits and I pout. I actually do a pretty good impression of a 3-year-old. To me, God says, you are my Son. I love you because I guess I have to. But with you, I'm usually not all that pleased. And what about you guys? Any of you do anything this week that maybe wasn't all that pleasing in the eyes of God? Any of you manage to remain sinless this week? Or even so far today? Because it's only 10:15. Any of you regularly keep all 10 of those commandments? And if you're thinking, yeah, sure I do. Remember, we sin in thought, word, and deed. How about that don't talk crap about the neighbor, 8th commandment? That's a pesky one, isn't it? Really struggle with that one. Or those coveting ones. You mean I can't covet my neighbor's house or my neighbor's wife? What's the fun of that? And a while back, let's not forget this one. I'll bet there's been nothing more important in our lives this week than the Lord our God. God's been first every single moment of the day, all week. And if you're still thinking after this prompting, actually, I think I was pretty good this week, might I remind us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves in the truth. Well, it's not in us. So a while back, there were these rubber bracelets. I'm going to talk smack about WWJD right now, so just to warn you, if you like it, I'm sorry. There were these rubber bracelets, what would Jesus do? I'm wondering, though, as much as I didn't like them, maybe if we started wearing them again, we would all be fixed. Maybe we would never sin again, huh? No? So, I like I said, I never liked these bracelets. To me, this standard, it's kind of unattainable. What would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do? For starters, he would cast out demons, right? So I guess if I'm supposed to be like Jesus, I would send a legion of demons into swine and hope they run off a cliff like they did in Mark's gospel, because that's what Jesus did. That sounds pretty doable. I got my planner here. I'll just pencil that in for, I got an opening on Tuesday for demon casting out. Start my being like Jesus on Tuesday. And then I'm supposed to bring people back to life. Not just any little bit of bringing them back to life, like 4 days dead kind of bringing back people from the dead. I could probably squeeze that in on Thursday. Thursday looks good for that one. But that's not all that I have to do to be like Jesus. I guess I'm supposed to die on a cross for all people. I'm supposed to take the sins of this entire world onto myself. I mean, let's be honest, that kind of sounds like a Good Friday kind of appointment, huh? Anyway, so that's... And then after 3 days, I'm supposed to rise again. Pencil that in on Sunday, even though Sunday is not exactly 3 days after Friday. Work out the math on your own, because that's what Jesus did. So cast out demons, cure the sick with just the touch of your cloak, raise people from the dead, die for the sins of the world, and then be raised after 3 days. I don't think we can do that. We are not the person of Jesus, and to us, God will never issue this blanket statement, "With you I am well pleased," because each of us far too often does that which is unpleasing to God. But fear not, we come from a very long line of God displeasers. The kingdoms of Israel and Judah, they had long forgotten about the Lord their God. They had long worshipped idols and false gods. They had long ignored God's ordinances. They had acted wickedly. They trampled on the poor, the widow, the outcast. Well, they were the ones throwing the outcast out. So God acted. God acted through the kingdoms of Assyria and Babylon in response to the rebellion of this, his chosen people. The Assyrians, they conquered and exiled the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BCE. And the Babylonians, they did the same thing to the kingdom of Judah. They ransacked and destroyed Jerusalem, its temple, the dwelling place of God, in 587 BCE. So now God's chosen people are exiles in a land that is not their own. And this today is where we hear God speaking through the prophet Isaiah to a people, to a second and third generation exile kind of people who are there in the kingdom of Babylon roughly 50 years after their parents and grandparents were uprooted. They were made captives and refugees, and then they were forced to live in a land of their conquerors. So in this place, what does God say to these people, to these lost and hopeless people, these exiles? Does he say, shape up and toss them some "what would God do" bracelets? No. Does he promise them salvation only if they live according to those bracelets and the laws of God? No, he doesn't. God delivers a message of unconditional love to the hopeless, to these exiles, to these chosen people who have never themselves seen the promised land of their ancestors. God promises unconditional redemption. We heard it today in the words of Isaiah. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. It is redemption not because of what they've done or will do. They sinned all the way up until their exile. They continued sinning in their exile, and they will continue sinning when they leave the exile. but they have been redeemed because of what God, because God loves them. Because they are God's, they belong to God. So Jesus is baptized into John's baptism of repentance, a baptism which, by the way, he did not need. And after this, the Father says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." We don't hear these words. We only hear some of them. To us would-be exiles, us should-be exiles, we should find ourselves separated from God by sin and death. To us in our baptisms, the Father says, "Yes, I have called you by name. Yes, you are mine. Yes, I love you. And yes, I have redeemed you." So the Father names and claims Jesus. He names and claims us. The Father proclaims his love for Jesus. He proclaims his love for us. But unlike Jesus, there is not a for us, these words, "With you I am well pleased." And I have to ask, are we okay with it? Most of the time I live my life like I'm not okay with it. I live like my life like I'm trying to earn something in the eyes of God. But guess what? God says, be okay with it. We do not need to hear these words because our redemption, like that of the exiles, is unconditional. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you, not because of what you have done or could ever do, but because you are mine and I love you. There's a meditation I came across this week from Sarah Bessie. She's a Christian author, and she speaks directly into what I think is an unbelievable, unmerited belovedness. And this is called a reminder. So anytime you think you need to earn your love, a reminder. You don't have to be productive, and you don't have to change the world. You are already so loved. You don't have to be smart, you don't have to be simple, you don't have to read all the right books by the right people. You are already so loved. You don't have to be beautiful and thin, well that's good, with an articulated and ironic fashion sense, not at all. But if you're into that kind of thing, well, good for you, it's fine. You don't have to be healthy in your mind or in your body. You don't have to be in full-time vocational ministry. You can watch horrible television, like wrestling. or you can be proud of your televisionless home. You can be artistic or scientific. You can spend your life traveling to meet beautiful people. Or you can live and die in the same town where you were born. You don't have to conform to someone else's ideas of holy or acceptable. You don't have to be, you can be from the wrong side of the tracks, or maybe you're from a gated community, suburban or urban or rural. You can work with your hands or your mind. You can work with your back and your brain. You don't have to be educated, not at all. You don't have to have a degree or any letters after your name. You don't have to know the right people and boast a carefully curated Instagram or Facebook feed with the famous and beautiful and influential. You don't have to be conservative. You don't have to be liberal. You don't have to identify with certain political persuasions or any certain ideology on sexuality or science or socioeconomics or foreign policy. You can be a social justice warrior or, you know, not. It's fine. None of that moves the meter of your belovedness. You will never hear God say to you, "Okay, now I love you just a little bit more because, look, you're finally out of debt or thin or powerful or influential or tireless or perfect." Your family story can be terrible or beautiful or, like most of us, somewhere in between. Perhaps you're famous or well-known or influential. That's fine. Perhaps you're quiet and unknown. Maybe you hate that. Maybe you love that about yourself. You don't have to be a mother or a father. You don't have to be married. You can be widowed. You don't have to be single, though. You don't have to want children or raise children. You don't have to be sober or clean. You don't have to give away everything you own or take a vow of poverty. You don't have to be prosperous either, but you can be. Church or no church or a certain kind of church, it doesn't matter. You can doubt or feel great certainty, even if there is certainty in your doubt. You can believe in God, doubt God, seek God, spend your entire life seeking God. You can be someone well acquainted with unanswered prayers, as most of us probably are. You can carry chronic pain, as most of us probably do. Or maybe you're one of the few that just dances through life. You can be introverted or extroverted. You don't have to love yourself or even like yourself all that much. Still, you are loved. Whether your life looks well put together from the outside while hiding a hot mess on the inside or vice versa, sometimes on the same day, you are loved. Morning lark, night owl, sinner, saint, child of God, siblings, all of us, you are loved. You have nothing to prove. You have nothing to earn. And I'm going to pause here on this word, earn, because it gets us stuck. This word, earning love, we all think that we must do something to earn love. We must do something to be loved, to earn it. The love, the redemption, it can't be unconditional, can it? What then would compel us to follow God's ordinances like we do it anyway? To love and serve the neighbor. From the prophet Isaiah. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, and I love you. Now this was not after Israel had turned from their wicked ways. This was after they spent century after century after century walking in the opposite of direction of God, and still God chased after them, brought them back into the promised land, and said, I love you. The knowledge of our redemption, it takes away all fear from us. There is no longer any loving or serving the neighbor in hopes that we will be saved. No, these are selfish works. If earning redemption is why we love and serve the neighbor, then we're not loving or serving the neighbor at all. We're loving and serving ourselves. But knowing that our redemption is a given because we are loved, this is transformational love. This is the love of God. It is a love that liberates us. And in this liberating space, we are freed to serve and love the neighbor. And this love and this serving of the neighbor, it is a grateful response to the God of Israel who saved us from the exile that we deserve, an exile that we don't get, the exile of sin and death that we have been saved from through the cross. So what difference does this unconditional love make? Well, Sarah Bessie, I think, kind of gets it. Love can and does and will transform us in every way. Our ideology, our opinions, our habits, our values, our priorities, our very names. But it is not a prerequisite. It is not a requirement. It's not behavior modification. Never is, not for love. Love has happened, it is happening, and it will happen. It is kind and patient towards you, towards all of us. You're already so loved. You aren't earning a breath of love or tenderness more than what you already had just by breathing, just by existing, just by being here. You are loved. Your name is already written in the hands of the universe. You are beloved, intimately, faithfully, holy. It is your lifelong rock, this love of God. You are known. You are loved with delight and abundance, with choice and desire, with covenantal love. You may feel it or you may not, but I hope you feel it. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. So maybe that's what we should write on the bracelet, carry around with us every day, on our wrists and in our hearts, to remind ourselves, our neighbors, our friends, our family, everyone, that we are so loved. For that I say, thanks be to God, and amen. And to which I would add, the hymn that I had originally picked is not quite as good as the hymn that I am changing us to. It is, please open your hymnal. I know, it's horrible. You have to open these books to hymn number 581. You are mine. 581. It will not be on the wall. This was a last minute change.
On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand.
As we continue with our prayers, are there any additions to our prayers of intercession? I would like to add Beth Sinden to the list. She's having some health issues at the moment, so let's keep Beth in our prayers.
California.
Yes, the California, the folks in the paths of the California wildfires. I have a friend who is a pastor in the LA area. He says that he is safe, but he has a lot of friends who have lost pretty much everything. So let's for sure keep them in our prayers. Any additional prayers this morning? Let us pray. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and for all of creation.
You call us by name and form us. We give thanks for the gift of baptism. Nurture and equip us, the baptized, to reach beyond the walls of First Lutheran and into the community of Galleon, to proclaim good news of great joy for all people, that they too are claimed and loved by you. God of grace,
hear our prayer. You give strength to your people. Uphold all who are called to serve the common good, both near and afar. Guide federal and state legislators, city and county officials, judges and juries to act justly. Bring an end to the wars in the Middle East and between Ukraine and Russia and across many places in sub-Saharan Africa, providing respite to refugees and allowing aid workers and organizations such as Lutheran World Relief to bring needed food, water, and supplies to those who have lost everything in these thoughtless struggles for land, power, wealth, and might. Strengthen our resolve to serve all in need. God of grace,
your voice sounds over the waters. Speak words of healing over the rivers and lakes, seas and oceans, especially our local reservoirs, Lake Erie and the Olentangy and Ohio rivers. Heeding your voice, lead us to care for the water and the land it creates and creatures it nourishes. God of grace,
hear our prayer. You are with us in challenging times. Draw near to all who are ill, undergoing treatment, or recovering from surgery. Especially we pray for Beth, Riley, Nancy, Krista, Diane, Dave, AJ, Kenny, Fred, Caden and his family, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Tina, Barb, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, and for those we name now, aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Accompany individuals and families affected by addiction or mental health challenges. We pray for all who are suffering from the California wildfires. We pray especially for Carlos and his congregation and all who have lost homes and livelihoods, and for those who have lost the lives of friends and family. Uphold each person as your beloved. God of grace,
you grant us peace. Comfort all who grieve. Dwell with us in this life, and at the last, join us with the saints whom you have created, formed, and named, especially those of First Lutheran and those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer. We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among your people. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign with one another of God's peace. We continue now with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. God of grace, your love reaches to the heavens and your abundance to the depths of the seas. Bless what we offer to your service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity, now and always. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of the water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus is made manifest in bread and wine. So come, all people, for Christ is revealed and received at this very table. So eat, drink, and be restored.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray.
Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, some announcements this morning. So we do not have worship and music after worship this morning. My friends showed up, surprise, big surprise, that hadn't been planned. And I'm probably gonna hang out with them after worship, so sorry, we're gonna cancel that meeting. Anyway. So we'll reschedule that. Sorry, I didn't get that bulletin right. Our community meal, if you didn't know, has been moved from a Wednesday dinner to a Tuesday lunch. And that first lunch is this Tuesday at 12 p.m. It is here in, well, yeah, it's in the basement. You know where to go. Anyway, so please join us for that. For some fellowship and for some food and to meet some folks out in the community. I will be in Columbus at Trinity Seminary next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the Rostered Ministers Gathering. That's an annual gathering for all rostered ministers in the state of Ohio. Because I'm there, we are pushing out the Bible study that had been planned at St. Paul for a week. So no Bible study this Wednesday, but that will be the following Wednesday after, and two Wednesdays. Anyway, the last Wednesday of the month. Just, it's fine. I'll announce it again, and it won't be quite as confusing. So I will be available for pastoral emergencies while I am at Trinity Seminary for the gathering. So if there's anything that you need, please give me a call. I guess no one claimed the silver ring that was in the women's bathroom, left in the women's bathroom. If that is yours, let us know. And also, someone left a coat back there after the last service. So also, if that coat's yours, it's probably still hanging back there somewhere on the rack. So that's the lost and found announcement, I guess. Anyway. Any other announcements this morning? Did I miss something? No? Hearing and seeing none? For the remainder of this month, it will continue to go to the building fund. So, oh, and then we will have next, last Sunday of the month, we will have a joint worship with St. Paul here at 10 o'clock, so that doesn't change for us. So please stand for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
beloved, with whom I am well, with him I am well pleased.
We too are claimed by this same voice.
Go therefore and make sure that all people know that this voice is for them, that it loves them too.
We will. Thanks be to God.